The Melba Story. The story of Australia's most famous woman. The true story, fully authenticated, and featuring another wonderful Australian singer, Glenda Raymond. The Melba Story. The bad luck which had dogged Melba right from the beginning of her career as a singer seemed by 1890 to have come to an end. In that year, with Jean and Edouard Doresque, she sang in Russia after having been engaged to appear later in the year at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York at a fabulous salary. Challenging the fates, Melba spent most of her American earnings in advance with the purchase of a house in Paris and the engagement of a secretary. At the end of the Russian season, however, she received word that the Metropolitan had been burnt to the ground and that the American trip had been cancelled. On returning to Paris, Melba found that her new secretary had taken over.
What did you say your name was, my dear?
Louise Bennett, madam, but most people call me Louis.
I hope you don't eat very much.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm short of funds, Louis. I really shouldn't have engaged a secretary at all.
Would you prefer to cancel the engagement?
How would you feel about that?
I'd be very disappointed.
Why?
Because I'd set my heart on working for you.
I'm a pretty hard taskmistress.
I wouldn't have minded that.
I've a very bad temper.
So I've heard.
Oh, have you?
But I've also heard that you've a sense of humour. And that makes up for everything.
Do you know, Louis, I think you and I are going to get along pretty well.
Does that mean I'm still engaged?
As long as you don't mind taking the chance of not getting any money.
I'm quite prepared to risk that. And I really don't eat very much.
Just as well, perhaps. But we'll manage. I think we'll make a start by having a look at this morning's mail.
It's all ready for you.
My word, you are efficient, aren't you?
I try to be.
All right. What's the first letter?
It's an offer from Sicily. You're asked to do a brief season at the Palermo Opera House.
How much?
They don't say.
Never mind. I'll arrange something. And, Louis, you'd better start packing.
Packing? Why?
Because I'm short of money and need that engagement very badly. So I think you can be pretty sure that by this time next week, you and I will be at Palermo.
Madam, are you still awake?
Yes, Louis. What time is it?
Not quite 10 o'clock. And there isn't a sign of life anywhere in the hotel. Everyone's gone to bed.
They must be very fond of sleep here at Palermo. Well, I'm very glad to be in bed, too, after that awful trip. It's lovely to know that we're on solid earth again.
I hope you have a good night's sleep. Call me if you want anything. I'm right next door, on the left.
And who's on the right?
I've no idea.
Doesn't matter. Good night, Louis.
Good night, madam.
This is glorious. I'm going to sleep and sleep and sleep. Lovely. No one to worry.
Everything nice and quiet.
Perfect. Just perfect. Who's that? Somebody in the next room playing the cello. It's Braga Serenata.
playing it pretty well, too.
Who wrote that music?
Himself. And you?
I'm Melba.
You are joking, of course. But you have a beautiful voice. I am sure Melba could have sung no better.
But I really am Melba. I'm here for the opera season.
But of course, what a fool I am. Listen, madam, I must see you.
All right, Mr. Braga. In the morning.
No, I am coming in to see you now.
But that's impossible. I'm in bed.
What difference does that make?
It may not make any difference to you, but it does to me.
Oh, how disappointing. At what time may I see you then?
At 2 o'clock in the lounge.
Oh, you conventional English. Well, so be it then, at 2 o'clock. Sleep well, my dove. I kiss my hand for you.
Good night, Mr. Braga.
Well, madam, did you sleep well?
Yes, Louis, eventually. But I had such an adventure. And I've discovered who has the room on this side.
So have I.
Did you hear our little concert last night?
I did.
Louis, don't tell me you were shocked.
No, madam. but perhaps a little surprised.
Oh, but how could I resist singing? It was Braga himself, and he was playing his own serenata.
Yes, I know.
What a coincidence that he should have the room next to mine.
Coincidence, did you say, madam?
Why, Louis, what do you mean?
I just heard Mr. Braga paying the desk clerk for giving him the room next to Madame Melba.
It was a put-up job.
It's a wonder you didn't guess that.
Oh, I must be more guileless than I'd imagined. All right, Louis. After this, I trust nobody. And when we get back to Paris, I'm going to be as hard as nails.
Madam, do you know how much you have left in the bank?
Oh, enough to go on with, I suppose.
You have less than £200.
As little as that. What about the money I earned at Palermo?
It was more than eaten up by expenses.
Oh, dear. It's very awkward. What are we going to do, Louis?
You'd better get rid of me to begin with.
Oh, don't be silly, my dear. I couldn't do without you now. Now, let me think. I know. We'll go to Nice.
Why Nice?
For the Battle of the Flowers, of course. It's a wonderful spectacle.
But you can't afford to go to Nice.
Louis, here's one lesson I've learned. If you're poor, don't look poor. When funds are low and the prospects are anything but pleasing, that's the time to spend freely. So we'll go to Nice. And I'll take two maids instead of one. And we'll engage the best possible rooms in the best possible hotel.
And what happens afterwards?
I don't know. I suppose I'll be thrown into a debtor's prison. But this trip will have been worth it.
Telegram for Madame Melba.
I'll get it, Louis.
Thank you. Shall I open it?
Yes, please. And if it's anything unpleasant, throw it in the waste paper basket.
Oh, madam.
Louis, what is it?
It's from the La Scala Opera House at Milan. It says, offer you contract for next season. Name your own terms.
In a few moments, we'll return to the Melba story. The Melba story.
A contract at La Scala? Why, Louis, that's the most famous opera house in the world. To appear there is the one thing every singer wants to do.
It looks as if you've been saved again.
Didn't I tell you something always turns up? But I certainly never expected anything as wonderful as this.
It's rather unusual for a British artist to be invited to La Scala, isn't it?
Most unusual. And, of course, this is the very first time it's ever happened to an Australian. You'd better send them this reply. Interested in your offer, will consider.
But, madam, suppose they cool off.
Don't worry, they won't. But just to make sure, add this. Please arrange accommodation at Best Hotel in Milan.
Buongiorno, signorina.
Buongiorno. Avete una camera...
Scusi, non capisco.
Ask him if he speaks English or French, Louis.
Parle inglese o francese?
I speak the English, a little.
Oh. Well, my name's Bennett.
Bennett?
Yes, I'm secretary to this lady, Madame Melba.
Melba? This is Madame Melba?
That's right.
So, she has come after all.
Didn't you expect me?
Scusi.
Oh, never mind. Have someone show us to our rooms, please.
Si, si. Al quarto piano. Facchino, portate I suoi bagagli.
Si, si. Da questa parte.
We're on the fourth floor, apparently.
All right, come along.
Aspetti. One moment, if you please.
What is it?
Lettere per Madame Melba.
Oh, yes, letters. Quite a bundle of them. Bring them along, Louis.
Grazie.
Prego.
What's that clerk grinning at?
I don't know. Something seems to be amusing him.
Perhaps it's my hat. Come on, let's go upstairs and I'll take it off.
Is this suite all right, madam?
Yes. And we've a splendid view from the windows on this side. Look, there's the Milan Cathedral. Magnificent.
You want to read your letters now?
I suppose so. You open them, Louis, and I'll see what they're all about.
There's the first one. It seems to be in print.
Who wrote this? A child? Oh, no. Not a child.
Why?
Read it while I'm looking at the others.
Leave Milan while you can. You are not wanted here, as you will soon discover if you stay.
This one's in the same pleasant vein.
Oh, no.
I think they all are.
Who can have written them?
Evidently certain people in Milan who have reason to fear that I'll possibly be successful. Read this one, Louis. It threatens me with all sorts of disaster unless I leave Milan at once.
What are you going to do about these letters?
Ignore them.
What about the police?
I wouldn't bother with them.
You know, I think that clerk knew what kind of letters they were. You remember the way he was grinning at us?
I hope there isn't going to be a conspiracy against me. I'm thinking of the stories I've heard about Italian secret societies like the Camorra and the Mafia.
Have a rest now, and don't think about these ridiculous letters anymore. They're probably all written by the same person anyway.
No, Louis, I don't think so. But I'm not going to worry. I'm here to do a job, and that's all that concerns me. Get in touch with the theatre and ask them when they want me to rehearse. Good morning. Are you the producer?
I am. And I have been waiting for you, Signora. I thought you must have left Milan altogether.
I'm afraid there are some who'd like me to do just that.
I do not understand what the Signora means. What I do understand is that this rehearsal was called for 10 o'clock, and it is now, let me see, nearly 10:30. Is that the way you do business at your famous Covent Garden, huh?
At Covent Garden, my friend, most of the artists are Italians.
But of course.
They're welcomed there with open arms and given every consideration. They're treated far better than the local artists, in fact. But here in Milan, the position seems to be reversed. A foreigner is not only shown every kind of discourtesy, but even has her life threatened.
What is that you say?
Look at these letters. Read them. Is this the famous Milanese hospitality?
You must calm yourself, Signora. Naturally, you are in a state of a nervous tension. The same thing has happened to many other artists. They have done well enough in local opera houses, where they have many friends in the audience. But here, at La Scala, it is very different. Here, there is only one test. The ability to satisfy patrons who know and demand the best.
I am not afraid of any audience.
No? We shall see what happens when you make your first appearance.
How do you feel, madam?
I'm scared, Louis. Terribly scared. For the first time in my life.
What are you afraid of?
A demonstration.
Oh, no, they wouldn't dare.
I think they would. And I'm almost sure that's what's going to happen.
But the first scene went through smoothly enough.
Yes, because all the singers were local favorites. And when the curtain goes up for the next scene, you'll see the difference.
You mustn't get panicky.
I can't help it, Louis. I feel like running away.
You've never done that in your life, have you?
No, I feel like doing it now.
Stand by, please. The curtain is about to rise.
Oh,
madam, pull yourself together.
What?
All right. Sack me, if you like, for being disrespectful. But I'm going to say what I have to say just the same. Now, listen to me, Nellie Melba. You're going out onto that stage, and you're going to give the best performance of your life, aren't you?
Curtain up.
Aren't you?
Yes, Louis, darling. I am.
Good luck.
Hurry, you are off.
All right, I know what I'm doing.
Look, Signore, they're all turning their backs on her.
It is just the way the boxes are built.
Yes. They know this is Lucia's entrance. They recognize the music. And they're showing their contempt. Oh, why can't they be fair? Why can't they give her a chance?
Be quiet. She is about to sing. Them.
Listen.
Always sensitive to the pulse of her audience, Melba soon felt that the hostility which had been conjured up against her had rapidly melted away. She had made her entry in oppressive silence. But at the close of the performance, she was greeted by a wonderful ovation. Hats and handkerchiefs were waved. Almost every person in the audience stood gesticulating wildly. The calls and recalls for the prima donna were kept up for half an hour, while cheers resounded to the ceiling. But the Battle of Milan had not yet been won. New perils remained to be faced. But for that, we must wait for the next fascinating chapter of the Melba story. The Melba story was written by John Ormiston Reed and produced by Dorothy Crawford. The Australian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Hector Crawford. The role of Melba was spoken by Patricia Kennedy and sung by the Australian coloratura soprano, Glenda Raymond.